Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Barber Show. Barber Show. Of the What Treatment Podcast. I've already screwed up the intro, as usual. And let's see if I screwed up if I got Shane on. Shane, are you there?
Yeah, JB, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can hear you just fine.
I forgot the name of the podcast for a second. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, I can believe it. I can believe it. Yeah. Maybe how
with all
are
the practice
you,
we've had doing these.
Yeah, exactly. The consistency and the professionalism, it's amazing. JB, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great this evening. How are you? I understand that you are currently driving right now. Is that true?
Yes, I just left your home state of Connecticut, and I currently just entered the Massachusetts band line. Band line. Jesus, what's wrong with us tonight? Border? I don't know what you want to call it. State line? So two very uninteresting cities after the next, and states after the next, and soon we'll make it a third, as my final destination is New Hampshire. No, I'm not running for president, trying to accrue delegates in the various New England towns. I'm the lonely life of a traveling salesman, JB.
Is this just because you've already gotten all the contracts you can in any civilized areas in the country? You've decided to transfer,
it's
travel all the way to New
Hampshire? It's not very far from the truth, it's a unrewarding job, very thankless. But I just punch a clock, slide down a brontosaurus's back, and check out at the end of the day, and I'm good.
You just you check in, you get your container of coffee. Well, you know.
I'm a regular Fred Flintstone. I don't crave the hero's life. I don't need it.
Well,
JB, intro music was great. One of your favorites, the best wrestler in the world, AJ Styles.
That's correct, yes. I decided to switch it up this week since I decided to use some more unauthorized music on podcasts.
I never realized that, like, there are some things I heard in that song that I didn't realize was there. Like, they have kind of, like, a weird car crash thing. Or was that a sound of the highway? Did I just not see an accident?
Most of the time it's that's when the pyro hits, is that little spot right there.
Yeah, and I don't know why the WWE's like obsessed with car crash, like Dean Ambrose, everything. Very 90s sound drop. Actually, very 90s.
Oh my God! You know, that makes me think of. You ever notice when they bring back these relics like Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon and the Dudley Boys?
All that it makes
me think of, especially the Dudley Boys' crappy like rap rock music, is how shitty the music was in that era.
Well, ECW, I mean, they did they were obviously unbelievable for the, you know, in terms of really kind of integrating music with the, you know, with wrestling, and sort of took up the music to the next level. To no talent and professionalism of their own, because they just steal the uncopyrighted songs and play them as entrances. It's kind of ridiculous to think about. But yeah, the WWE knockoffs were always terrible, like really awful. I can't think of a good song.
They kind of did okay when they did the knockoff of the Rob Van Dam music. I thought that was okay.
Ah, that sucked. That's so especially from what it was. You know what I mean? Like the Pantera song and how. I guess we're starting out the podcast on a blue note because I'm about to use so many expletives as I get very excited. But the Pantera Walks Up was the most fucking awesome song you could ever have. Like, I know, but there wasn't anything better than that song for RVD. And when they, you know, when we go to the shows and they just play the chorus on a loop. And it'd be, you know, the spec what for like a half hour, just like nonstop, like the chants like never died down. That was one of the best fucking like theme songs entrances like ever. Like it's just crazy.
Most of the ECW music was like that.
Yeah, but there was I think like some songs like. Tommy Dreamer's, like, when he came out to Alice in Chains. There was some stuff I felt was stupid. Like, I kind of didn't like Ravens, even though he came out to The Offspring, you know, Keep Them Separate. Like, there were some good ones, but that Pantera one for RVD, that was the best fucking choice. Like, you don't get much better than that. Oh, well, maybe New Jack's song. And, of course, for New Jack, since he couldn't wrestle and you know, it was just a mask of a very violent criminal, you know, playing out his sociopathic fantasies in the ring. You know, so you had to have tons of smoke and beers. But they had that song playing throughout the whole match. That was unbelievable, too. That just set, like, such a crazy atmosphere with that song, Natural Born Killers. I think Dr. Dre... go ahead.
Yeah, well, that song is, like, pretty hardcore even for that genre, which was amazing about it. And then they kind of overdid it when they would, like, replay it, like, three times during the match.
It was always awkward when it would start again. Like, the song would end, and then you get, like, the 2 seconds of silence, and then it would start right up again.
But especially when it was, like, a surprise that they were coming out to, like, face some, maybe, like, an open challenge or something. Someone would be stupid enough to do that in ECW. And then they play that music. I mean, the crowd would go insane.
I remember there was one. It was during the days when TNA was on this is the last reminiscing of ECW days. But it was when, not TNA, it was when it was on TNT. And it was when Mike Awesome was the champion, and, like, they had a, it's funny how awesome they, like, put over every wrestler, like, how over New Jack was. Like, they had a New Jack-Mike Awesome match on on TNT, on, like, cable, and then, like, his music hit. No, what happened was Joel Gertner was out there. And he got all scared, you know, and, like, left the ring. And then his music hit, and New Jack came out. And I think, like, you know, Mike Awesome stapled him in his forehead and all that good stuff. It was pretty awesome. I love it.
Now, was that in your days at the Madhouse of Extreme in Astoria, Queens?
These were actually the days when, for all our listeners, I was at, I attended... Fordham University, which, believe it or not, an Irish Catholic from Long Island went to Fordham University. but these were the days when, and I live about 40 minutes away from Fordham, like my actual house where I grew up in. You know, it's a quick trip. And my mother used to videotape, send me cassette tapes of every episode of TNA, ECW on TNT, every week for about however long it lasted, like 2 months. And I was I was a hero. I used to play that in my freshman dormitory, and all the other losers that were too stupid enough to know that college was a time to get laid used to come watch it with me. Retarded.
Right.
Anyway, well, maybe I'm sure we have tons of talking about the road of WrestleMania really heating up and taking so many twists and turns and these exciting, turbulent times. And that the latest Raw really sucked. It didn't have any big show feel. You wouldn't know that WrestleMania is right around the corner.
Well, yeah, I do want to talk about that. The 3-hour chore, as I like to call it, on Monday night. But it was funny. I was watching just before this, this week's NXT show, and I doubt you saw it since you're on the road. But this was the debut this week of the I don't know if you call it debut, but they announced the Nakamura match at TakeOver. So they had the bit where Regal came out when Zayn was doing a promo and saying, "We're going to give you a world-class match with our newest signing," and then showed a brief video of Nakamura, which was inaudible because the crowd was going so nuts. But
which
is probably better off anyway, because I don't know how good his English is.
Wait, what did Nakamura? What was the video like?
It was basically, they just showed him, it just looked like a Skype video almost. And Regal comes out and says, Zane's like, I really want to be, I really wanted to be part of TakeOver because NXT is like, been everything to me. And, I'm really upset I lost to Samoa Joe, etc. And then Regal comes out and says, "I've got the world-class opponent for you. It's this man." And then he just walks off, and then the video plays. And, yeah, it's like a cell phone video. And at first you just see the back of his, scraggly hair. And then he turns around, and it's Nakamura.
Wow.
And he says something that I couldn't even hear it because the crowd, drowned it out. They were just going insane.
Wow.
But, But I think that's really going to be the best show of the weekend. And there's a couple of reasons why I wanted to talk about that. But
was Sami Zayn's reaction? Did Sami Zayn pop, or did he smile, or was he scared? Or
Sami had a look of okay, that'll work. That'll work for me. That's something I can be happy with.
If Nakamura is booked nothing less than the Japanese Brock Lesnar, I'm going to be furious.
I bet they'll still book him in NXT. I don't know about...
I think everyone should be, cowering in fear from him. And, he's got to come in so strong, or people are just not going to understand his gimmick. At least I don't think they are. God, now these, they're going to bring Nakamura out to their knuckle dragger Trump supporting fans, and that he's not going to get over.
Well, he'll get over with the NXT crowd.
Oh, 100%. He's already over huge with the NXT crowd. Do you think he's going to appear on any of the shows before Dallas?
I don't think so. I would bet that they do some background stuff, maybe backstage type interviews in the coming weeks on NXT TV. But.
And maybe they could show him meditating and doing a Japanese tea ceremony and dry cleaning some clothes at the WWE, knows anything if we're following their record. I'm obviously very worried about the entrance of Nakamura. He'll probably be in a mid-card feud with Chris Jericho in a couple months, but we'll see. Now, Nakamura is going to be... JB, what do you know about Okay, so we know Nakamura is going to be on NXT. We know he's going to be at the Dallas show. What's the expectations about Nakamura coming up on the main roster?
I don't think they're in any rush to bring him up to the main roster. That's what I think it might be like a Kevin Owens type run, where he's going to be there, dominate
okay.
for like 3 to 5 months, and then kind of move on. That'd be my guess.
All right, I don't mind that, I guess.
I feel like if he gets over, which I think he will, they're going to have to put him on that SummerSlam card. That's got to be what they're going to lead to.
If he should not be in the mid card. Only like a heated emotional feud, or nothing else. Otherwise, this is a waste of time, and he's not getting any younger.
No. We talk about this often with these NXT guys.
Yeah, I know. Well, these Japanese people, they age like milk. Something that doesn't age very, very properly.
Something that doesn't age well?
yeah. I mean, they got to get them up.
Unlike AJ Styles, which I believe, AJ Styles, I believe you said, ages like fine wine.
Yes, the man's a godsend. He ages. Well, you know, he's got that, backcountry, southern... he's got good genetics. He comes from a good stock, and he's lived that sort of life, healthy, you know, in the sun, pitching barrels of things of hay. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying, but he'll be fine. And so, do you think that Finn Balor's going to come up at the end? What's your expectation on that, the Finn Balor Joe match?
My expectation of the Finn Balor Joe match is that the loser goes to WWE main roster.
right.
And maybe quite literally going to be a loser hit that level.
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think everyone says that Joe's going to be the one to go up, but there's a chance that it can go the other way.
Well, the main roster is getting quite a talent with Joe, let's face it.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of Joe. But if you think about it, I mean, I keep looking at that SummerSlam card. There's going to be so many guys they have on that SummerSlam card that I'm just not going to have enough room for. Because by then, Cena will be back, Rollins will be back, theoretically Nakamura, Joe, Balor are all going to be there.
That's music.
Styles will be way more established. Like, it's going to be pretty ridiculous.
Hopefully. I love the sound of that. It's in Brooklyn, New York, right, Jim?
Yeah, they're going to do the Brooklyn again. They're going to do the Brooklyn NXT and then the SummerSlam and then Raw again.
They're really establishing themselves in this Brooklyn crowd, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. But a couple of reasons I want to bring. Well, I think we went over the card a little bit. What's going on with that show? But they were doing some WWE Network stuff that got a little attention. Maybe it was just like an omission by accident. But during Raw this week, they promoted the network and all the events for WrestleMania, and they were talking about the Hall of Fame and like a 2-hour pre-show for WrestleMania and some podcast stuff or something, and completely just left out the NXT show. And I feel like this is getting back to a theme that I saw emerging last week, is that there's apparently there might be some heat between Triple H and Vince. I'm wondering if maybe this had anything to do with it, or if maybe I'm just speculating too much, or... Or what? But
well,
you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like something just from being a lifelong fan of the WWE and, you know, hearing all about Vince's character. It sounds like something that he might do, just like a real subtle slight by not advertising, like, his own product for WWE. Unfortunately, but the heat is emanating from, I believe,
just like the how Triple H has handled his feud with Roman Reigns, right? And I heard that Triple H is angry about the feud, right? And being like the agitator. Not so much Vince. Is that true, Jim?
I think there's some more heat on Triple H for maybe not getting Reigns over as a face, I think is what the start of this was. Well, the start of these rumors were, anyway. But to me, that seems kind of ridiculous because he hasn't been over for well before that. They've been trying for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a pretty ugly scene if he wins WrestleMania and is standing there with the title and then everybody booing, not to state the super obvious. So they were even toying with putting the Shane Undertaker match last, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's been no definite, you know, word on that, so I feel like that's definitely on the table. I mean, that's something I thought of immediately. You could kind of get him out of it, especially if you decide to say that control of the company is more important than the title, which they're prone to do.
And, I mean, you could imagine Triple H losing the title, Shane beating The Undertaker, and thus Stephanie McMahon and her husband, Triple H, losing control of Raw. It could be a pretty, like, powerful image of maybe Triple H and Stephanie on the rampway with, like, nothing, you know, having lost everything. And that's the way they, you know, they close out the show. Kind of real negative, and the Shane and Roman Reigns triumphant, but it's a good narrative. I think it tells a good story if they do go that direction.
Well, there seems to be, like, an obsession that there needs to be some great finish to WrestleMania. Like, just
because
the last two had really great finishes. And really, if you look, like, historically, they have no problem giving, like, some finish the Smarks aren't going to like. Like Rock, those Rock Cena matches the 2 years before that, no one gave a shit about.
Right.
So,
yeah, no one cared.
Not every WrestleMania ends with, like, Benoit and Guerrero in the middle of the ring with confetti. Like, it doesn't happen that way.
Right. Well, they couldn't end it with Benoit again because Benoit killed his family then himself. And nobody.
Right.
So he physically couldn't be there, but he's also, like, nobody kind of discusses that situation in the WWE. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how everything develops, and it's interesting how this sort of parallels and mirrors what's going on behind the stage. It's kind of a weird time for Triple H, like just speaking of, like, my own, like, corporate environments or even, like, family situations, you kind of know when to pick your battles and, like, when to rock the boat and kind of pick your battles, like, fight for what you want to fight for. And, like, agitate the boss or make a demand. It doesn't seem like a very opportune time for Triple H to be, like, sticking up for himself and picking fights with the boss when his son Shane is returning, you know? And we all know that Vince McMahon could act, like, irrationally, and he could just say, okay, you know, Triple H is out of my good graces today, so I'm going to give Shane control of the entire company. Like, I mean, that now that Shane is, like, in the mix, like, in the WWE, like, corporate headquarters, like, I don't know. I just, like, if I was Triple H, I might just tread a little lightly until Shane puts in his, his WrestleMania appearance, then goes back to, you know, walking, doing errands on the Upper East Side at 10 a.m. in the morning. You know, not not really having much of a life, I'd imagine, buying some new sneakers. You know,
are you basically saying until just give Shane O'Mac enough rope in the corporate office to hang himself? Is that basically?
Yeah, I mean, I would just like, okay, let's say like I'm going, I don't know, there's like, but I mean, let's just say like I really want a raise or whatever, like, and this is something that, or let's say like there's something I want to fight for at a inside the company, in the corporate structure or something. If I know my boss is like, what if there's like, I don't know, another person at the company that's really like completely outperforming me, like this time, and I kind of know like it's not gonna last, you know, but I'm not gonna go into my boss with a bag of hefty demands, like, you know, when like I'm like, you know, when there's somebody like completely outshining me. Does this like make any sense? Like Triple H, just like cool your jets for a little bit, wait till Shane leaves, then pick a good fight. Like that's what I think, because we know Vince is prone to some irrationality, so I don't think it's really beyond him to, you know, just completely lose your shit one day after an argument with Triple H and write him out of the company. I mean, that's really dramatic, but at least give Shane more power, no?
I was watching, it kind of reminds me, I remember watching a thing on last year's WrestleMania, and it was like one of those WWE 24 things on the network or whatever, and they were prepping for his horrendous entrance as the Terminator.
Oh yeah.
And he's Vinnie Mac's out there with him as they prep, and like it's a little unsturdy, the little stage he like got propped up from underneath.
Yeah.
And as he's going up, Vince just kind of makes a little joke, although I don't think it was that much of a joke, where he just goes, I already got my grandchildren anyway, don't worry about what happens to them.
That's hysterical.
Which I feel like is almost like he probably does have that thought in his mind.
Right,
the way
right.
He is. But you know, I mean, yeah, if you're Triple H, though, and if you're Steph, right, I mean, they've put so much into this the last few years, and to think that they might not have coming to them what they think they have coming to them, it's got to be a pretty tough reality to deal with, if that's the case.
I don't think it's the case, and who knows what sort of contracts and, you know, like, behind-the-scenes things that they have, and obviously, like, there's a lot to be said about, like, you don't just, you know, in the company make the transition. Like, oh, we have a new boss. You know, like, that doesn't happen. You have to factor in a lot of different concerns and organizational practices, all that shit. But it just, like, I don't know why Triple H right now is picking this fight. I don't know why Triple H is even stressed about this. He's a millionaire. Like, they have enough money. Like, why even worry? Anyway.
Well, Triple H should be looking at this like Michael Corleone did in Godfather 2.
Sure.
He realized early on that Hyman Roth had no consideration of retiring. He was just putting on an act. He thinks he's going to live forever. So what Triple H has to do is get one of his guys to choke him out and kill him. I mean, that has to be what happens, right? That's
got
to be the move Triple H has to make.
Right, right. If we learned anything from Godfather 2, yes.
Yeah. Instead, he thinks he's just going to be his apprentice and go to meetings and all these things. That's never going to be the way you get power from Vince. He's not going to respect that.
No, absolutely not. Or to use another metaphor, it's like the Sith. In Star Wars, you know, there's always the master, the apprentice, then the apprentice usually kills the master when his time is up. You know, it has to end there. How big of Vince McMahon's role is going to be at WrestleMania? Like, what are you thinking?
I think it's got to be a major one, because he's been the only one that's been able to kind of get Reigns over as a face at any point during this thing. So, but then I noticed that as a problem in this week's Raw also, is that Steph is involved in both angles, with the championship angle and with the Shane angle, and Vince also is. Although
yeah.
it seems Vince is more with the Shane angle, which is, they're going to have to try to figure that out, I think, because it's doing both for both of them, I don't think is a good idea. I think one should stick with one and one should stick with the other, but...
I think they're really having this year's WrestleMania in the right place to, like, put Roman over. Like, these knuckle-dragging Trump supporters are going to cheer Roman Reigns. Like, we all know they are.
So Trump supporters are naturally a Roman Reigns crowd?
I think so. You know... pandering to everyone's lizard brains, like Roman Reigns.
I like the Reddit thread a while ago that compared all the wrestlers to current wrestlers to presidential campaigns.
Yeah,
and,
that was a long time ago, but I still remember it.
It was such a good one. Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
What was it?
The one that stuck out to me was CM Punk is most like Ted Cruz, like really sort of like passionate, like about like whatever cause they have, but the last guy you'd want to have a beer with.
Oh, that's right.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Trump is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Right.
He kind of says a lot of big things, doesn't have a lot of specifics, kind of racist.
Right. Yeah. Right. Very good. There are some funny ones. I hate talking about hypothetical, but do you remember what John Cena was? I remember that one was funny. But I can't remember it now. Oh, well. But,
John Cena. Who would be a good combination? Who would be a good comparison for John Cena if you were to think about it?
I don't know. In this year's, like, presidential field, Jamie, help me out here, man. Like,
maybe like a Bernie Sanders? Never gives
up. I was thinking that, but, like Bernie Sanders is sort of like the underground guy that, like, you know, Bernie Sanders is like a smart favorite, I feel, you know?
Yeah, Bernie Sanders has never pushed down your throat.
Yeah, no. Hillary Clinton maybe, like, you know, John Cena's like a real favorite of the establishment, but John Cena's like in real life, like, all signs point to him being like a pretty cool guy with a tremendous competitive spirit, and Clinton doesn't seem like a pretty cool person. You know, that's like, honest at all.
Mostly because she's a woman, correct?
yes. I mean, that's the one thing against her. Even going into this conversation, the audacity of me to compare a man to a woman is just silly. But anyway.
Neither here nor there, I suppose.
Yeah, correct.
So, what did you think? Did you see Roadblock on Saturday? What did you think about Roadblock?
I did see. JB, can you hear me okay? Just got to get
out.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep.
All right, perfect. I did watch Roadblock. I thought Roadblock was great. I'm really a fan of these, like, one-off WWE Network events. Just kind of, I really like the way they do them. I like how they kind of have like a, you know, obviously almost like a New Japan type feel. Not really, but I like how it's just very match centric and like they do the storytelling in the ring, but they still advance angles without the promos. And that's what happened with Beast in the East when they did that one off. And that's what happened with this one, Roadblock. So, big fan of these one-offs on the network. But it was a pretty good... It was a good show. The interesting one, the more interesting spots of, not spots, but just things that happened in that night was the Bray Wyatt Brock match, which inexplicably turned into a handicap match with Brock suplexing Luke, between Bray and Luke Harper and Brock, and then Brock suplexing Luke Harper continuously, like completely uneventful, wasted Brock showing a presence left a lot to be desired, but it was because Bray's back is demolished, correct? I didn't know this. He has a...
Yeah, I actually just learned that a couple of hours ago, that that was the reason behind that. Because it was kind of frustrating to look at. But yeah, apparently Bray Wyatt's back is in bad shape. So that's why that happened.
And well, Bray Wyatt didn't even have plans for WrestleMania, right?
Well, you know, the original plan was to have Wyatt against Lesnar, like as of like a month ago. And then that changed.
That would have been an interesting match, just because he brought... Because Bray's stiff as hell. We haven't really seen him work against, like, a stiff guy. I think that, like, match would have been good. I think that match had potential. And Brock always works good with those, like, bigger guys because he gets, like... Because I think he really loves, like, and excels at throwing those bigger guys around. I just think he enjoys it more and it comes out in the matches. So I think that would have been a good
match. I also think,
like,
if you're a bigger guy like that, I think with Harper and that... I would feel so much more comfortable in the ring with Brock Lesnar doing those kind of moves than someone else doing them.
yeah. Because he's not going to drop you on your head or anything. He's going to clear the...
No, he's going to land you on, like, a pillow every time. Like,
right. Yeah.
He's not going to have any problem handling you.
Yeah. No. I thought that would have been a good match, but obviously not getting it. But now Bray and the Wyatts have no promo. They're going to be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what their place is at all, like, unless there's going to be some kind of run-in somewhere. I mean, that seems to be where their place would be, but I don't know where that would be either.
God,
the only thing I can think of, there is a lot of... there's a lot of... how can I say... So, you know, like, you ever listen to Meltzer,
right,
and he's not really, like...
You're going to say something what? Racist? You're going to say something
racist?
No,
not yet.
Okay, all right. Go on.
Not on this one.
Right.
There's kind of always, like, a foreshadowing that Meltzer does during this podcast, where he doesn't give something away. And I'm kind of thinking this might be it. He keeps saying that... the League of Nations New Day match, there's a reason for that match, and the reason that match is happening. And then there's nothing for Bray Wyatt to do, or any of the Wyatts to do. And considering they're all kind of 3-4-man factions, I feel like there's something there to that, probably. So that's why I'm thinking that that's where that fits. But outside of that, yeah, I don't know what their place is in WrestleMania.
Why is Meltzer...
And that's
like
complete speculation.
Why is Meltzer, like, tiptoeing around that like it's some bomb? Like it's like a big surprise.
I always feel like Meltzer... like, if you listen to him, he will give away stuff that he doesn't want to see happen and stuff he's, like, okay with and thinks it's a good idea. He'll just kind of, like, tiptoe around.
Okay. So maybe there's something more to that? I can't imagine what that could possibly be. That Meltzer's looking...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and that's if I'm right in my speculation and, like, interpretation.
Right.
Some old loser that does a wrestling podcast.
Jamie, you really study Meltzer, huh? You have, like, him down to a science, like...
I've kind of figured out his whole thing, yeah.
You figure out his whole gimmick, like the nuances and innuendo. Like, that's admirable, that, you know, you really overanalyze this man who's wasted his entire life reporting on rumors for fake fighting. It's great.
You could say that I've wasted my entire life analyzing a man who's wasted his entire life.
Right. It's like staring into infinity.
Right.
Anyway, But yeah, no, that's interesting, I guess. I mean, I want to have a place for Wyatt. I like Wyatt. Like, the WWE sucks. They can't fucking book this guy correctly. He should be the boss character in a video game. Like, he fucks or he manipulates things, and you have to fight all his goons before you get to him, and you just can't beat, like, Bray Wyatt. Like, he wouldn't even have to have a title. Like, he's just, like, manipulating things behind the scenes. Like, imagine if, like, you find out in the end, it's obviously not going to happen, but, like, imagine you have a year-long booking and you find out in the end that Bray is manipulating, like, Hunter and Steph to, like, do his bidding. You know, that's a crazy thought. But that's, like, the levels that this character could be at, like Bray Wyatt. And they haven't done shit with him.
Well, that was the level that Undertaker was at. I mean, he had, like,
exactly,
the corporate
ministry
and all that.
Yeah. The corporate ministry was such shit. I hated those, like, super groups. They were, like, the worst.
Did you hear that theory? I don't even know how sustained. I don't even remember the angle that well. Did you hear that theory that Shane McMahon never actually disbanded the corporate ministry, and that's the plan?
And, like, what, Viscera and Midian are going to come back and like, the Brood? I mean, I love that theory, but a little ridiculous.
I know. Well, it's going to have to, I mean, it's going to have to also counteract
Viscera,
the theory that Seth Rollins is the Undertaker.
Yeah. Isn't Viscera dead? There's, like, a...
He is.
Like,
sure is.
Like, 25% of the corporate ministry is dead. They couldn't even, like, do that. Like, physically. But I do like the Seth Rollins is the Undertaker theory, and that his finisher is turning into the Undertaker. That's a good one.
I mean, it's yet to be proven wrong. So.
Yes. I can't wait for Seth Rollins to come back. But anyway.
Oh, God. When Seth Rollins comes back, it's going to be impossible for him not to be a face. They're going to try so hard.
Yeah. No, they're not. He's coming back as a face. Definitely. Yes, I don't
He's going to get the reception that... You remember when Triple H got that ridiculous reception when he came back from an injury?
Yeah. Wait, you mean when Triple H came to the Rumble?
No, when he came back to the Garden on Raw. Like, I think it was like 01 or something. Off the quad injury.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I do remember that, actually. Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be what it... And he was still... And I think he ended up just, like, morphing back into the heel character, but...
At first,
everyone was just going crazy. Yeah.
But,
anyway, Roadblock. I liked Roadblock a lot. One of my favorite parts of Roadblock was the fact that Michael Cole was a competent announcer, which I don't know if that's...
Sure.
...had something to do with... With the way they set up that thing, like maybe Vince wasn't in his ear or something, but
good point. He was much better that night.
He actually knew the like finishing moves of the people, and including like the NXT guys, and seemed to know. Yeah, like I watched him the week before on Raw, like literally not even react when AJ Styles did a springboard 450. Like,
right.
Had nothing to say about
right.
it. Just
sure.
like, oh, I guess that happened, and we'll
right,
move
right,
on.
Right. Right.
Like, no, a move
sure.
no one in the company does. But,
sure, like, what
and
have
then
you
doesn't
done
know,
lately?
Doesn't know, like, yeah.
Right.
And I've seen him numerous times blow, like, Charlotte's finisher, the natural selection, and then he called it out, and this one, like, right away. But, so that was good. And then, I really liked the, I was surprised how well known Enzo and Cass were to that crowd. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was a great match. That there was a bunch of good matches, but that tag team match was pretty good. I really liked it a lot. Yeah, I guess I wasn't too surprised that the crowd knew. I was suspicious, like, when they came out to see if the crowd was going to be doing their chants or whatever. But they're so popular now, even in NXT. Jimmy, do you have any speculation on the title? Because I kind of thought for sure Enzo and Cass were going to win it. the tag team titles, but they didn't. You have any ideas?
Oh, for the NXT tag team title? Well, tonight's NXT will answer that question. But but it, just to quickly, they've already taped all the stuff up to Dallas, the NXT stuff.
Yeah.
So the Gable and Jordan won the number one contender match tonight.
Got it. Okay.
So it's going to be Gable and Jordan against Dash and Dawson.
So Enzo and Cass are totally out of the picture.
Totally out of the picture. I'm wondering if they're going to do any kind of like taping before the TakeOver special, like they did in Brooklyn, to fit in
right.
some of these guys, because I'm sure everyone there would want to see Enzo and Cass, and like Emma is not on the main show, or I don't know, there's a bunch of people they could throw on that. The Black Villains.
Well, no one gets to see Emma's goofy dance, which is always fun.
Which she hasn't done for like a year.
I know. But I still like that goofy dance.
You like that Instagram, though, right? You're glad I turned you on to that?
Oh, yeah. That Emma's Instagram is the gift that keeps on giving. But one of the things that we have talked about, JB, is just I appreciate her gram posts that are usually of her, like, ads. And kids, and in the background, it's like the heavy hotel door with the instructions for checkout and the fire escape, like on that plastic in the back, like just reeking of loneliness and desperation, and the need for praise. Like her confidence is very other derived. There's nothing there. She's a bad day away from a total breakdown, and I like that. Just the not only her physical form, but the severe lack of self confidence in her Instagram posts. It's great.
Right. Well, like just thinking through the whole scenario, right?
Right. Right.
Why
exactly.
This even came about? Yeah.
Right. But she's really, I know I said it before, she's, like, really pretty. Like, they don't, for some reason, whenever she's on TV, they don't, like, sell it well. But she's just, like, really attractive. So Enzo and Cass will probably be in the main roster soon, huh?
Yeah, well, I've given up on that. I think like 3 or 4 times I've teased that to you, and it never happened. So
yeah,
I don't know when it's gonna happen. I'll just wait
for
when it happens.
Even,
I'll be happy.
It's not even you. Like they teased it. Like you know, like Carmella posted on her Instagram, "We're here." You know, they've been teasing it. So that's nothing.
Right.
It's not you. You know that they've actually been teasing it too.
It just makes so much sense. Even like the fact that Enzo is not that great a wrestler, although I think he's fine now as far as what
he's improved
what
so do. Much. Yeah.
So I mean he sells the whole match.
Yeah. And some of his moves are really good, like that DDT that he does, like off the middle rope. Like and not just flashy moves. I think his punches look good. I think he's fine. It's funny, Cass looked like a star on that roadblock. Like, he's... I'm not sure what the WWE has in mind for him, but, like, he's the star of that group. And then, like, Enzo's going to go into announcing after a couple of years, I guess. You know? But,
That was funny, actually. I was thinking that when I was watching Roadblock that he had taken it to another level there. And, like, was trying to impress somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good. And that's Dawson
great.
And Dash, they don't they don't have the look or anything, but they're just like so good at tag team wrestling.
Yeah,
it's really
yeah,
funny.
They're they're really good. It's like that shoulder block to stop Enzo from getting tagged. That was such a good spot, and Enzo selling the hell out of it, like throwing himself out of the ring. It's funny, like Enzo, like you know he's like. Like, if we were, like, at the gym or something, like, Enzo would be the biggest guy in the, at the gym, you know? Like, there's no doubt about it. But on TV, he just looks, like, so small and diminutive. And, you know, he was never a high flyer. He was, like, a gym rat that went into wrestling. And he's trying to put together these high flying moves, but you can tell he's just, like, he's not built for this shit, you know?
Right.
He's just, like, a... He's just like a hard-working, like very charismatic guy that's not like we've had this conversation before about like the male physique. Unfortunately, we've had this conversation many times. And Enzo, he's just like, you see it, like Enzo has these like little legs, you know? And like, just like he's a smaller guy and he can't do like that flippy shit. And he can barely even jump off the top rope. You know, there's a reason why they have like, you know, what are they called? The rocket launcher or whatever. And he's just like, not like that type of level athlete that some of these guys in the WWE are. It's funny, you know? But, well, he's my friend. We've like embraced and shared like words together.
I forgot about that.
How could you forget?
Yeah, I remember. I forgot how close you two are.
Right.
Now, if I remember correctly, this happened when we were at NXT Albany, and we were very lucky enough to be right on the rail at the, on the entrance ramp. And after their big match, where they were the most over guys of the night, I would say. Enzo came down and was looking at some people. You were wearing an Enzo and Cash shirt, and Enzo came directly up to you. Yeah, right. And Enzo came directly up to you to hug you, and unlike your very awkward Finn Balor encounter months before,
very awkward.
You hugged back, managed not to creep him out, and then you shared a few words, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Oh, we did. He said, "Hey man, thank you for buying that shirt." And then he hugged me, and it was disgusting because he was covered in sweat and, like, his body hair. It was gross. And then I said, shamefully and in the cringiest fashion, the words that came out of my mouth, the Long Island came back in me, and I said, real, recognize real. It was pretty awful.
Wow.
But yeah, he was... No, he nodded in agreement. That was, so I don't know.
Well, I feel like it was a. He would definitely understand that.
Yes. And he definitely. I mean, it was more of like a statement of fact than any like opinion. It was just like yes, real, recognized. It was two men of similar ilk acknowledging each other.
Right, men of similar ilk, of course.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yep.
So what else from that show? I really like the woman. I like the Charlotte Natalia match. That was great.
Yeah, you really did. You're well.
Yeah, I really did. Oh, this is another bone of contention between us.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
I don't know, JB was going soft on me, like totally marking out for this woman's match. I don't know, it was just a fine match. But I mean, it was just a cheap way to get over the hometown girl in the hometown, you know, arena doing like the hometown move, like doing the goddamn sharpshooter, you know? So sure.
They had no problem pulling out that sharpshooter, right? That night?
They did it so many times that night. Yeah.
I like how they think, like, Toronto is, like, the same thing as Calgary, also. It's, like, the same.
Right. Pretty funny. Yeah. They really do. I think the gem of the world, JB, I might have not shared this with you, is Vancouver. Just a wonderful
country
city. Temperate climates and wonderful people. If I get kicked out of the United States, when Trump wins, I'm moving to Vancouver. And I don't know. I guess I'll sell cars or something. Work on my PhD, I guess. I don't
Maybe open up a shrimp stand.
Yeah. You know, sell shrimp, you know, buy shrimp.
Yeah, like
$5 a shrimp. You know.
$10 a shrimp. Why not?
Yeah. But that was, so anyway, we have a pathetic Twitter account, for our podcast. Jamie, what's the, plug the Twitter, please.
It's, at what treatment?
Yeah. There you go. At what treatment? And me and JB both shared, and we sometimes have dually tweets. And I tweeted out a gem, a hilarious comment. What did I tweet out?
Yeah.
Do you have it?
Oh, God. I wish I had it handy. Let me see. I didn't get it. Right,
I mean, do you just remember it often?
No, I mean, I don't even remember the subject. What was the subject?
I fucking forget. I mean, totally what it was. Well, look for that. But I tweeted something probably pretty awful and, like, disrespectful to all the wrestlers involved or whatever. But JB tweeted
out
so
it's about that match, right? Yeah, okay. I got it. Vince, you know, like, quoting Vince, Charlotte, at mentioned Charlotte, doesn't really have the look we want, so let's just glue some shit on her face. Hashtag
right.
Roadblock, hashtag WWE roadblock.
Right. So, like, right. It's funny with Charlotte, like, they, like, you know, she's a fine-looking girl, but, you know, she's built like a man almost. You know, she's not, like, as attractive as some of, like, the other divas. You know, I'm not saying she's ugly, but I'm just saying, like, I love how Vince's response to that. Oh, it's, like, literally, like, cover her face with shit. Let's, like, put some sparkles and, like, some glitter and some stickers. Like, literally putting it on her face. I'm not crazy. This is, like, what they're doing. They're putting stickers on her face. So that was my tweet, which got no applause.
Got
and
a big
JB,
zero.
Yeah, big zero. Big strikeout from old Shane. And then JB had a tweet right after that that was acclaimed by the Twitter world. And JB, would you like to read your gay tweet?
Yes, I believe I wrote, never understood why at Natty doesn't get more time, always delivers. Hashtag WWE roadblock.
And JB, a real white knight you are. What a defender of women.
Well,
you
what's amazing
run,
is that it's just so not in my social
I know.
Social media nature. Like,
right.
Everything I write on social media is vile and inappropriate.
Right.
And this was the only one of the few things I've ever written that was just positive without any...
Right,
without not even, like, any condition on it. Usually there'll be some condition on it. Or some negativity
maybe
somewhere.
I remember seeing it. I remember seeing that tweet and, like, you know, I didn't read it and maybe thinking you, like, liked it or something, which I remember myself, right? I remember thinking, like, that's a weird tweet for JB to like. And then when I realized you wrote it, I thought it was impossible. I thought maybe your wife, like, was writing something on Twitter or something that it would come from your mouth.
Right.
I mean, just very un-JB-like. I mean, completely.
Yeah, it couldn't have been. I don't know. I was just that. I was that in love with the match. I thought it was that good.
But this tweet was acclaimed, correct?
Oh, yeah. So that's apparently how you get over on social media. If you say positive things, apparently it gets over.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, the first I ever tried it, so I don't...
Oh, JB, I'm fucking in Vermont now.
Oh.
I guess I got to cross Vermont or something.
You're probably going to be in Vermont for a brief period of time.
Yeah. That's the way I like it. Brief period of time. Jamie, I don't understand. Now, Jamie, you're a very fancy man that lives in Connecticut that doesn't have time for things like public transportation or shared social spaces, correct?
I despise those things, yeah.
Right. I know we have that difference, I don't understand why anybody would live anywhere but New York City. I never understood that. I don't get it. Like, I drive all over this country. I just don't understand, like, what is the attraction. Anyway,
you just
you
love
do.
Living on, like a shelf of a building, right? You just love living
right,
on your
right,
little...
Right, exactly. Like when I go into actual homes, like, I lose stuff. Like, I'm very bad with three or more rooms. Like, I don't know what the fuck to do. Like what's going on? I feel like I'm in a castle if I'm in a duplex. Anyway. Where were we? Went off on some tangent there, JB. Oh, and, the women's match was good. And then the one match was good. The final match was good. I don't know why you expect it to be bad with, you know, Triple H working. I know everyone hates on him, but he puts together some damn good matches. And I thought he worked great with Dean Ambrose. When the first Ambrose was doing, like, the figure four and the sharpshooter, I thought it was really cheesy, but it worked in well with the match, how he was working on the leg. I thought it was a great match. Dean Ambrose, somebody get this fucking guy a sandwich. He looks so thin. I don't know what fucking look he's going for. But he looks, like, thin and pale. I don't know what he's doing. Because he can be, like, big and, like, thick. Like, I don't know what's going on. And I know it's not like he's not hitting the gym or anything. It's a look he's going for. I don't know what he's doing. Am I wrong?
I never noticed it, but I guess you make a good point. I'm always so distracted by his...
Jim,
wearing
that's
jeans.
Why
it just annoys me.
That's why he's not getting a push. I'm telling you. He could be in the main event card if he was, like, thicker and more muscular. I don't know why he's, like, going for this, like, thin look. I don't get it.
He looks too small, is what you're saying.
He looks like a vanilla midget. He looks like Austin Aries.
Oh, my God. Austin Aries. Did we talk about this in the last podcast, what a vanilla midget he is?
I don't know. I mean, I couldn't pick out Austin Aries in a lineup of one. There is nothing, like, substantial or recognizable about this upstate-based vanilla midget. I don't want to see this guy on TV. I find nothing appealing about him. I don't get it.
I mean, we were right there in that entranceway when he was coming up for the main event of the NXT show, and literally like 5 feet away from a guy. I'm like twice the size of this fucking guy.
No,
I couldn't
that's
have been.
True.
I couldn't
you're,
have been less blown away.
Yeah, you're twice the size of him. That's like really accurate. You're twice the size of him. I'm like very.
Shane might have dropped out. All right. Well, the main point was, I guess, Austin Aries was a vanilla midget that we had no tolerance for at NXT Albany. I, being a 6'4 blue blood from Connecticut, I can't possibly understand a man of that size or of his ability. But we were that was our comment about NXT Albany. And let's see. Oh, well, with Ambrose, he's talking about Ambrose. So I haven't noticed that Dean is that much smaller. I mean, he does, I guess, kind of comes off thinner recently, but him being that much smaller is, hold on, Shane's coming back on here. I'll be less awkward in 2 seconds. Shane, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, yes. Yeah. So I am twice the size of Austin Aries than you are.
Okay, I was just saying, I don't know how much you heard. I was thinking, Shane is Winter is extremely average. I am average height, like average build, average. I'm
Yeah, I could barely hear you during that. It kind of broke up a lot.
Yeah, but, it might be like that.
Okay, now you sound fine. I guess you were just cutting a promo on Austin Aries. We can just skip that.
Yeah, I was just saying, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, of course, no, I can't hear you fine. All right.
I'm like, Ab. Jim?
Yeah.
Jim?
Yeah, Shane. Yes, hello.
Yeah, it's not going to be good, probably.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, let's. This is what happens in Vermont, in Bernie Sanders, Vermont. You can't get a cell signal.
This is the type of dysfunction that we'd have to deal with if Bernie Sanders won the nomination.
Right. All right, well, let's see how this goes for a little bit.
You
sound okay right now.
I was saying was, I'm just very average. Like, there couldn't be anything more average about Shane Winter. I'm average height, average build, average intelligence. I celebrate my mediocrity as much as I can. And I was saying, I kind of dwarf, like, Austin Aries, correct?
I would say you're taller, bigger, too.
Oh, yeah, Austin Aries is dwarfed by me.
Right. Yeah, it was remarkable watching him come down the thing. Actually, I mean, a lot of those guys didn't blow me away with their size. The only one that did was Baron Corbin, but and Joe to some degree, I guess. But Austin Aries stuck out by far. Like a tiny, tiny man.
Yeah. I just like how we both looked at each other, and I think we said the same thing, like, well, what a vanilla midget.
Just harnessing our inner Jim Cornette.
Right.
But, no, you know what? Just on that main event of Roadblock, real quick. Kind of impressive to me just how good Triple H still is. I mean, obviously he's like one of the great, you know, great in-ring kind of guys ever, but he's just was so good in that match. And he was very good in the match on Monday, too.
Just
at his age.
He just knows how to, like, sell the match so well, and he knows how to book everything well. Like, you know, that match with Dean Ambrose was booked like awesome. You know, it was just like booked like perfectly. And I even went
very,
into it.
Very
like,
Attitude Era style match, I thought.
Yeah. I just thought that was great.
Yeah. And then, real quick on Raw this week. Did you see, you already mentioned right at the beginning, Raw was pretty uneventful, and I'd agree. And it's pretty amazing considering there was actually, they pretty much had everyone on the show. I mean, they had every star of WrestleMania on that show. I don't know who was missing, except for like the guys who are going to be like the surprise guys, like Austin and Rock and those types. But, you know, Lesnar, Undertaker, the McMahons, Triple H, everybody there. And there was not a lot to the show. There was some advancement of things we already kind of knew were going to happen. Like, seems pretty obvious now, Kalisto and Ryback's a match. They kind of moved the Owen Zayn thing along, although Owens and Zayn are theoretically just one-on-one. There's going to be more people, but we'll see with that. Because not much moving on from anything. do you have any real thoughts on the show necessarily?
Not re- I mean, like, you're right. Like, nothing was advanced, you know? Like I don't... like, it didn't feel like anything happened. Like, I agree.
So, yeah, so, I mean, we got the whole WrestleMania card pretty lined up, at least, at this point, but...
Right.
Apparently, like, the Usos and Dudleys is a thing. Like, I don't know why that has to be a thing, but that is. And then there's going to be some multi-person second Divas match, which is probably unnecessary.
I kind of don't really mind, like, the Usos and Dudleys thing, because at least there's, like, a little heat there. Like, you know, like, I miss the days of, like, these personal feuds where, like, guys just sort of wanted to beat each other's asses, you know? And there wasn't, like, a belt on the line. There was just, like, an emotional feud between the two. Like, I miss those days. And that's a little, like, throwback match. Did they do, like, a good job building it up? Like, probably not. But what can you do?
Yeah. Well, they like both those guys, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they'll throw Truth and Goldust in there or something. I don't know. Or something.
Oh, yeah.
They keep building up this this whole Brie and Lana thing, which I don't. My love of Natalia disgusts me when I see this.
I didn't realize it.
Yeah, they keep having Lana come out during Brie things and doing distraction finishes and all that. So.
Socialist hell that
function,
and I've reached New Hampshire.
Oh, thank goodness. Back in Live Free or Die, New Hampshire.
Yes, yes. I'm a libertarian now.
Oh, good, good. Oh, the most interesting thing that happened on that thing, did you see the whole the Neville injury and how that went down in the Jericho match?
Yes.
So I guess I'll just run it down real quick if you don't know. So Neville's hurt. He's going to be out for 2 to 3 months. He's not going to be in that multi-person IC match. He got hurt in this match, suffered a broken ankle, and it looks like in the middle of the match he suffers it doing a baseball slide, and then that's why the finish was kind of weird with Jericho pushing the ref, although... I guess Jericho was just going for like a roll-up finish when they realized he was hurt, and then the ref trying to still call it as a shoot. Neville's shoulder was up, so he couldn't count him three. And then Jericho, like, I guess legit was pissed off with Robinson and pushed him, and then you saw them yelling at each other, and it was supposedly like real heat there. So. Kind of interesting little segment there. Did you see all that?
Yeah, yeah. JB, you probably can't hear me, right?
I can hear you.
Okay, all right, I'm surprised. But, yeah, I thought it was interesting. It just goes to show you, like, they always say it, but it's funny to see it, like, how important the ref is in the match, for better or worse. But, yeah, it's a shame that he's going to be out for, but at least the latest update is it's not broken. Like, he'll just be out for a couple months. Not like they were doing anything great with him anyway. Not to sound pessimistic, but it's kind of this weird non-story, right?
Yeah, I think it's just, well, I mean, you go from a... what looked like about a 5-person match. Now they lost him, and then the other two people. I don't know if there's really a good reason for them to be in it. So
yeah,
maybe they just do Owens and Zayn, and maybe that's the upside of this whole thing.
I really hope they do that. Obviously. Oh, what are they planning for Ziggler? Do you know? Can you shed any like light on that?
What's that?
Do you know what they're doing with Ziggler?
I don't know. You know, they did that whole angle, and I thought that was just to set up him asking for an IC title match. And then if he won the match, which I thought he was going to, with Reigns' interference, right? Didn't you think that was what was going to happen when they set that whole thing up?
Kind of, But then it just fizzled out. Like, I don't...
So then they have the Triple H-Ziggler match, and then Triple H just beats him clean, and then Reigns comes out, which didn't make
Right.
I mean, I thought they had the perfect trick there to trick the crowd into cheering for Reigns by him helping. Like, they wanted Ziggler to beat Triple H and get this, like, fantasy match, which would have been something interesting for the crowd. So Reigns coming out and helping him, they would have popped for Reigns helping him. Like... And then instead they don't do that because I guess it was predictable, which it was, right? But sometimes a predictable thing's the best thing to do. Like, that's the reason why you do it, because it makes sense. And the so instead they just beat Ziggler clean, and then they bring Reigns out. And for what reason is anyone going to cheer Reigns at that point that already is not ready to cheer for him? So it was I thought it was a big mess, but what are they going to do with Ziggler at this point? I mean, I thought Ziggler was supposed to be part of that Triple H match. I mean, not the IC title match with Owens, but apparently that might not be the case. So unless they set it up again next week where he is going to they set it up next week where he's going to have another similar thing where he just like asks for a challenge and they give him a challenge and then he decides to step up or whatever. And then they finally give him the match that he wants. And then he enters the enters the IC title match that way. But that's the only way I could see it happening. Let's see. All right, Shane has dropped out again. But that, let's see, with that IC title match, that's the way it looks like it's going to go. I mean, there's still, I think it's still planned to be a multiple person match, which they did last year, which I thought a lot of people liked that match. It's like the 7-person match that Brian won for the IC title in the ladder match. And I thought that match was horribly overrated. And I really don't like the whole WrestleMania, like, we don't know what to do with guys, so we're just going to throw them in a multi-person match and get them on the card, and then, like, they'll just figure it out from there. I think that just is always pretty poor. But it's, you know, it was, like, almost automatic that that's what they were going to do this year. It was either going to be Kevin Owens is going to have to do that match with the IC title, or Kalisto is going to have to do that match with the U.S. title. And I guess it looks like Owens, but really at this point, the only other people that were going to be in that match were Ziggler and Miz, and now and Neville, and now Neville's out. Ziggler doesn't really have any place in it as of now, so they could write him out if they wanted to, and Miz lost that match to Zayn on Monday, so it's definitely open for them not to have that match that way, and just do a one-on-one match, which I think most people would just prefer at this point. And then Kalisto, for whatever reason, they decided the best thing for Kalisto was to have him do a one-on-one match with Ryback. And I mean, in some ways, I kind of think, you know, they've taken something there, which is really kind of dog shit, and turned it into something, like, okay so far, where Ryback's kind of pushing that big guy thing, which is, you know, something that people rail against WWE for all the time, so I feel like it kind of works. And Kalisto, I think the WWE in general has... like, really missed the boat on Kalisto so far. There are so many people that, like, either like radio personalities I know that have kids that that like WWE, or just people I know personally that have kids that like WWE. And I would say unanimously their favorite wrestler is Kalisto. The kids. The kids' favorite wrestler is Kalisto. And I know it's like a small sample size or whatever, and it's not going to be attributable to everyone, but I don't feel like the WWE's caught on to that at all, the way they, I mean, they still let him hold on to the title and everything, but the way they booked him has been not in a way that I think reflects that. So I think they're kind of missing the boat on the whole thing there. And then what else we got for WrestleMania? So you have Triple H and Reigns, Undertaker and Shane, Lesnar and Ambrose, Owens and Zayn, New Day against League of Nations. Now, it appears on the New Day versus League of Nations match that it's going to be a 4-on-3 match and still for the tag team titles, which is an interesting stipulation. And then Styles and Jericho are going to face off again, which I noticed a lot of people have been making fun of, because this is their fourth meeting. And why are they having the fourth meeting at WrestleMania? Like, it's not that big a deal at this point. I think they've kind of built it up well, and Jericho's done a good job with, as much as I don't really like care for Jericho, I think he's done a good job with building up the whole feud and trying to get Styles over. So, I mean, I think he's done a real admirable job actually doing all that. And I liked his heel promo a lot at Roblox, and his impromptu work on Raw with that. So, then you can have a three-way for the Divas title, Charlotte and Sasha and Becky. And, Usos versus Dudleys. And then some sort of multi-person tag match with the extra Divas that are left over. So, and then, of course, the tradition that started it all of fitting people into the WrestleMania card, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, Memorial Battle Royal. So that looks like WrestleMania. I've been stalling, waiting for Shane to call back in, but it appears that's not going to happen. So, all right, I think that's going to be it for this week. If you have any comments about the show, please feel free to email us at the wartreatment@gmail.com. We always like getting feedback and listening to what you think we should do with the show. And or you can tweet at us at wartreatment. And we will be back much more often here on the road to WrestleMania. So, have a good night. That's it from here. And take you out with this. Good night, everybody.